Thank you, Laura and Jessica. Graduates, I know I told you go back wherever you wanted to. A lot of times I have you up front. I'm going to be sharing a message with everybody, but particularly for you guys. So all the graduates that don't do anything, just raise your hand. I want to make sure I see all of you. Should be six of you. Raise your hand so I can see. One, two, three, four, five. All right, I got you. I know where you are now. All right, as we get started, I preach about this every once in a while, but it's awesome when God gives affirmation that the things that you are doing are in line with His will. Explaining a little bit of what this is, we've been going through the book of Thessalonians, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I preached on 2 Thessalonians 2 last week, and as I began thinking about and preparing for graduation, I wanted something that was going to be meaningful and connect and be relevant and practical for our graduates and what the Bible had to say. And when I read again chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, it's like it was created for a graduation message. And for me, as a pastor, that was saying, Greg, you don't need to go create something yourself. You don't need to make up a bunch of stuff. I have a message that I want to share with the graduates and the other people that are here today. So I thank God for that. And I would invite you to have a time of prayer with me before we head into reading our scripture. Lord, we celebrate. We thank you for the graduates who are here. We thank you for the graduates who they represent, the ones who aren't here. We thank you for the journeys that so many have been on and realizing that this is not the end of a journey, but this is just a continuation of what you have next. And Lord, I pray that today it will be an opportunity for these graduates to see and understand what you desire for them and how you can be a specific part of that. But Lord, not just for the graduates, but to realize that none of us really arrive. We're never fully educated on this side of heaven, so all of us have a learning journey to be on. Help us to recognize that, embrace that, and live that in the way you instruct us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the scripture today, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 3 through 5 and then verses 11 through 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts in God's love and Christ perseverance. And then moving to verse 11, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy. They're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. So the first thing I want to talk about at the beginning of what we read is to trust God for strength and protection. Now, graduates, particularly if you're a high school graduate, there is this word that you may or may not feel that you have, but I think that if we really spent some time with it, you could relate to it in some way, and that word is invincible. A lot of times at a certain point in life, we feel like we've got it. And everything's in front of us and things are set and we're okay. But I tell you, it's not always going to be that way. And we do need God. And we need a protection that comes from God in a way that it doesn't come from anywhere else. God can offer you protection. You'll need it, so I encourage you to claim it. The most dangerous things around you are not often the things that look dangerous. Think about that for a moment. The most dangerous things around you as far as your life and where you're headed are not necessarily the things that look the most dangerous. In fact, I want to suggest that there are three things, three categories things can be put into that offer that danger. The danger of getting trapped, the danger of moving in directions, the danger of getting caught up in things and places God doesn't want us to be. And I'm not going to go in and read all the scriptures, but it kind of goes along with what Satan did with Jesus in the wilderness. If you remember, there were three temptations that Satan gave to Jesus. And I'm going to put those in three categories. The first one, I would say, is appetite. And appetite, the things we're challenged to do sometimes and the things we just get pulled into without even realizing it, is just the desire to do what feels good. If it feels good, do it. We're young. We've got it. We just, that's the way we might choose to live life. Another one, beyond appetite, is affirmation, the desire to have approval of others. There's some of us that we just want to do what feels good. There are others of us that what makes us feel successful in life and just feel good is for people's approval. Now, I can tell you, of these three, and I should have said this to start with, and they are appetite, affirmation, and admonition. And I believe if you, not just our graduates, but I believe if anybody here really is honest with yourself, I'm not, you just think about it. I'm not going to ask anybody to respond, but I believe everybody, one of these three will stand out as something that tends to be a guiding force in your life. Something that can pull you in a direction. And if we allow God to be a part of it, it can be a good thing. But if not, it becomes something that pulls us away. This one was mine, the affirmation. Especially when I was younger, especially when I was young in the ministry, I wanted to please everybody. I wanted everybody to be happy with me. I never wanted anybody to be upset with me. I hated conflict. And so it was what I worked towards, and it got me in trouble. It got me in trouble because, guess what? I couldn't please everybody. And so I lost sleep, and I wondered what I was doing wrong, and I wondered if I was really supposed to be doing what I was doing. And so Satan took it, and I spiraled down, and it just took me into a place that wasn't good. So for mine, that was my struggle, was a struggle with affirmation. The last one, admonition, is a willingness to do whatever it takes to succeed and get ahead and be powerful. Colton, I'm going to use you just a moment for an example. Colton's going, most of us here have probably seen Colton play basketball. If you haven't, he's good. But Colton is going, he knows he has a plan to play basketball at college that he's going to, and there are a lot of things. In fact, Colton told me that as he goes, one of the things he needs to do, he knows he needs to work out, prepare physically, be ready, and that's a good thing. But I'm sure we've heard it, there are a lot of things athletes can do to try to give themselves an edge, and some of them aren't good. Some of them aren't legal. Some of them are compromising your integrity. I don't believe for a second Colton's going to do that. But it's not just about sports when it comes to trying to be the best and succeed at all costs. That can be the case in any aspect of life. So, I want you to hear it. Trust God for strength and protection. Don't be pulled away by those things that feel good. Don't be pulled away by affirmation of other people because that makes you feel like you're successful. Don't be pulled away by a willingness to do whatever it takes to get ahead or be the best. Trust God for strength and protection. Paul acknowledges that not all have faith. He says this in verse 2. We didn't read that, but that's verse 2 right before where we start in verse 3. Graduates, not everyone around you is going to want what is best for you. Today is a good day. A day God wants you to celebrate with family and friends and have a good time. But not far down the road of life, you will face struggles and challenges. Now, before we get there, I want to say something else. I hope, graduates, that you have taken time and that in the next few days, maybe weeks, you will continue to take time to recognize the people who have been by your side, who have had your back for the past 18 or 22 or longer number of years. Your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your family, the friends who really care not just about having a good time with you, but genuinely want what's best for you. Having received my master's degree in sociology, a motivational speaker by the name of Jim Rohn made a statement about human behavior I'd like to challenge you with today. He said, "You are the average of the five people that you spend most of your time with." A variation of this says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you what your future looks like." Personally, I believe God intends us to interact with, love, serve, and minister with a plethora of people, with lots of people on our life journey. I don't think we just need to pick and say, these are my friends and this is who I'm going to have. This isn't what I'm talking about. But there is a point here that there are a handful of people you will naturally grow closest to. It's just going to happen. There's going to be some people that you're going to spend the most of your time with. The people that when something's going on in your life, they're the ones that you're going to go to, want to talk to, want to share with. These closest friends and family members will indeed have the most influence on your life. Don't leave the make God your number one. Your number one friend. The one who will lead you and not only embracing your inner circle, but the guide for every aspect of your life journey. I cannot promise you this will make it easy, but I can promise you your life will be so much better with God in the driver's seat than if he's not. Allow your Lord, this is from verse 5, allow your Lord to direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. I'll share that again. This is one of the main points. Allow your Lord to direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And we'll come back to that at the end. Another point that we had in near the end of the scripture, it said, never tire of doing good. Young people these days often get put into a category of being lazy, not wanting to take initiative, not having respect for others, and caring only about themselves. While this may be true of some, I believe, in fact, I know, there are lots of young people who are just the opposite. I know of young people who are driven, who are motivated, who are caring individuals, who respond to the needs of others with love and care and a desire to make a difference in the world in which they live. And I could name several of them, and some of them, if not all of them, stood right here in front of us just now. And you need to be celebrated, and you need to be given credit to that, not because of just because of the great things you're doing, but to acknowledge that and encourage you and support you, because all too often the world pushes you down and puts you in a category that you don't deserve to be in. I believe this scripture is a warning that the world can and will try to convince you that you're not strong enough, that you can't make a difference, that it's not worth it. I believe this is part of the evil thinking Paul is saying God is here to protect you from. Be willing to seek out the person God has called you to be, and don't settle for anything less. I'm going to say that again. And people, this isn't just for the graduates. This is definitely for everybody. Be willing to seek out the person God has called you to be, and don't settle for anything less. I'm not going to ask Tanya how old she is, but I'll just give you a hint. She's older than most of the other graduates that were up here. But I'm thankful, and I hope I don't get in trouble with her, But I'm guessing the decision Tanya made to go back to school, to embrace the things that she has, the family to support her the way she did, was probably not the easiest decision she had ever made. And I expect that it took some courage. I think there were some questions she probably had, and I haven't talked to her about this. I'm just assuming that's there, because it's not something that people would typically do. But Tanya did it. And knowing Tanya, I believe she did that. And one of the main, if not the main reasons, is because she felt it was something God wanted to do because of how God had equipped her. Because of who God had made her to be. Because of the gift she had. Because of the passion she had. Because of the desire she has to be who God wanted her to be. And so, Tanya, I thank you for being here today. I thank you for that example, and we pray with you, and we encourage you, and we support you in that. But what we should also be doing is allowing that to inspire us and realize that each one of us has a calling, and just because we've reached a certain point, just because we've gotten an initial diploma doesn't mean that our journey is done. Our life continues, and God continues to place calls on our lives, and we are to respond to that. There is no one here that should say, okay, I've done what I need to. God's going to call me. I'm just sitting here and waiting for the wagon to come. No, God doesn't do that. If you're here, God still has a purpose for you. And so I believe that's one of the things that we need to make sure that we understand and know today. Graduates, I invite you to take a moment right now to consider whether or not you're serious about embracing God's given purpose for you. Are you really serious about it? Personally, I don't believe God has picked out one specific job, one specific person for you to marry, one specific house and a specific place for you to live. But I do fully believe God has placed a specific calling on your life to be the person He created you to be. And I believe that will lead to these other things we've talked about. The place you're going to live, the job you're going to have, the person you're going to marry. All of those things, you're going to know God's a part of it, because He's going to be a part of leading you and guiding you. And it's going to make a difference. And you're going to be able to move into life with a confidence and an assurance that you won't be able to have otherwise. I believe the essence of this is described very well in a manifesto, which is part of a Chase the Lion study our young adult small group is doing right now. And I'd like to share that with you. Please hear it. There's a lot of great nuggets in here. I'm only going to read it once, but it has a lot to say. It's for our graduates. Graduates, I think it's a great thing to hold on to, but it's for every one of us. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-ordained passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Keep asking questions. Keep making mistakes. Keep seeking God. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Stop playing it safe and start taking risk. Expand your horizons. Accumulate experiences. Enjoy the journey. Find every excuse you can to celebrate everything you can. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Burn sinful bridges. Blaze new trails. Criticize by creating. Worry less about what people think and more about what God thinks. Don't try to be who you're not. Be yourself. Laugh at yourself. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Take a flying leap of faith. Chase the lion. as you grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, graduates, you will be able to recognize the stages of your calling. It's not like you have one calling and that's it. You figure it out and that's how you live life. Our calling changes throughout our life as we continue to grow spiritually. A calling will bring you and the people around you blessings, purpose, and hope beyond what this world can give. I, as your pastor and your friend, desire that for you today. In fact, I desire it so much, I'm going to invite each of the graduates. You don't have to say anything, but I'm going to invite you to come back up here in just a moment. I'm going to invite each of you to the altar. I'm going to ask if you would allow me and others who may feel led to do so to pray over you. But what's probably more important is what you're willing to bring to the altar this morning yourself. Are you willing to be a lion chaser, to let God be your guide? So I'm going to ask now if Addie, Campbell, Colton, Jody, Tanya, and Trent will come. And if you will allow me, if you'll just come and kneel here at the altar, I'd like to have a time. The praise team can come back up, and they're going to be having a time of prayer too. But if,